In a moment, I'm just going to show you a video. The video is probably a better introduction to Ephesians than I could do. And it's from the Bible Project. the reason I want to do it like this is, having done some analytics of our website, I'm aware that our talks are listened to in particular in India, in Holland, and in Germany. So if you are listening to that, I just want you to know that the video we're about to show is embedded in the PowerPoint. And you can also discover it at BibleProject.com. And that's for all of you here as well. And if you don't do that, I've got old school, I've got paper copies as well that you can take away with you. So, why Ephesians? Ephesians, depending on which poll you look at, there are two books that regularly come out as people's favorite books of the New Testament. Romans, and I can understand why. And Ephesians, and I can definitely understand why. And I have been itching to do a series on Ephesians for a number of years. And every time I say that, oh, we've done that recently. So I decided to go back through every single talk until I could find, when did we last do Ephesians? And it was more than 10 years ago. So I think it's high time we look at this very important book in the New Testament. And as we study this book, it will help us to discover our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. And how we live out this Christ-following way of life. So without further ado, let's see the video. Whew. Hope you got all that. If not, as I say, go to, I'll put it on the WhatsApp this afternoon. I'll send a link to it if you'd like to watch it again. Or if you'd like to take a paper copy, then that's fine too. So, my responsibility this morning is only to look from chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 14. So let's have Kim read it to us.
Ephesians chapter 1. Can you hear me at the back? Verses 1 to 14. It's quite nice not to have to shout. This is the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him.
Thank you, Kim. It's quite the book. N.T. Wright, in his book, in his study on the various books of the prison letters, he likens Ephesians, the book, as to you could travel around London and you could see the sights and you could look up at Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. You could go along and see Horse Guards Parade. You could sort of stand on the banks of the river. But, he said, you could also get on the London Eye and you could travel round and reach the top and look out and have this incredible spread of all of London before you. And he says that's what Ephesians is. It's this spread, this great eagle-eye view of the whole of the gospel, the whole of the New Testament is in this one little book. In fact, in my study Bible, the introduction says this. It says, perhaps more than any other book in the New Testament, Ephesians is filled with gratitude for the saving grace that God has shown to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Solely by God's grace, believers have been chosen, forgiven, called into his family, made his children, promised his eternal blessings, given the gifts of his Holy Spirit to mark them as belonging to him forever. Salvation can never be viewed as something that is earned. It is a gift. And as a result, believers know they are called to praise God forever for his amazing grace. They can do nothing less, for they owe him everything. So this book, the Bible Project, sort of starts at verse 3 and says the verses from 3 to 14 are this lovely Jewish poem. But before we even get to verse 3, I've been doing a study on Ephesians through this book, Transformed Life, by Dave Smith, who is senior pastor at Kingsgate Community Church. And he says you can't even get to verse 3 without going through verses 1 and 2. So what do verses 1 and 2 say? Well, immediately as you start opening this book, you're faced with the whole issue of transformation. This letter is written by the Apostle Paul. It says, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus. Saul, who himself has gone through one of the greatest transformations ever in history, apart from what Jesus did at the resurrection, because Saul was responsible for persecuting, imprisoning, and even killing Christians. And now he has this incredible encounter with Jesus Christ and is transformed, not into someone who will tolerate, not into someone who will stop doing the bad stuff, but someone who radically, powerfully declares the good news of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what happens to him, it's all about the message he carries. And then there is another transformation. There's a transformation of the people who are reading this letter or listening to this letter. They would have been transformed themselves because Paul isn't writing to the Jewish community. Paul is writing to the Gentiles in Ephesus. They would previously have been pagans. They would not have been welcome in religious circles. Now, they are addressed as God's holy people. Some translations say to the saints in Ephesus. They are faithful followers of Christ. And I just want to say here, as we read our Bibles, that includes you. You too, as you read this, are included in Paul's letter to the faithful followers of Christ. They've been welcomed into this new relationship. And this is more important maybe today than ever, where we have a culture of loneliness, of isolation, of individualism. The whole, if it is to be, it's up to me, only I can make things happen. But that's not how it is. It's about being in Christ as God's holy people. Note, Paul writes to God's holy people, plural. He refers to God, our Father. Right at the start, in verse 1 and 2, even in the introduction, he's saying, this is for us, family. We're together in this. God is our Father, and you are God's holy people together. So Paul is not writing to individual Christians, but to a community, the family of God in Ephesus. And as this letter develops, we're going to see how important it is that we get things like our relationships right, how we live out, how we embrace what God has got for us as the people of God, because we are in Christ together. In verse 2, Paul prays that we would receive grace and peace. In that book by Dave Smith, it says, grace is the key to how we are saved. Contrary to how our world thinks, what many religions tend to teach, our salvation is not something that we deserve or earn. It is only through grace that we can be saved. This is so central that throughout the early part of the letter, Paul emphasizes again and again, it's about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense is a mnemonic. G-R-A-C-E. It's not something we can do or earn or steal. It can only be given to us by God himself. So look at verse 1, verse 6. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7 and 8, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Chapter 2, verse 5, it is by grace we have been saved. Chapter 2, verse 7, the incomparable riches of his grace. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Paul is so overwhelmed by saving grace that he not only refers to it, but he piles on the superlatives, the glorious grace, the riches of God's grace, the incomparable riches of God's grace. Can you imagine? Paul is sat in prison. He's not in the best place. And he's got a scribe there who's dictating. And Paul is going, talking about the riches of God's grace and the lavish of grace. Can you imagine trying to keep up? And the scribe's going, no, slow it down a bit. But Paul's got a flow. He wants to communicate this great, good news. And we're only at verse 2. So Paul comes back time and time again to this phrase, in Christ. In fact, in the New Testament, there are 216 occasions where Paul uses this phrase or similar. In Ephesians, we find it directly 12 times, and 22 times it's sort of obliquely referenced. In comparison, only 3 times in the whole of the New Testament does Paul refer to Christians. We are in Christ, unified with Christ. We become who he says we are. We take on this new identity. The Ephesians had taken a new identity. They were no longer pagans. They were Gentiles. They were in Christ. They were part of this holy family. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone and the new life has begun. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says this, put on your new nature. You are created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Our true, transformed purpose can only be found by us being in Christ. It is who we were designed to be. In the Message, verses 11 and 12 read like this. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he'd already got his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. God's called you by name. He's got plans for you. He loves you. He thinks you are the best thing ever. And not only that, he has said, you are in Christ, jointed, living out your life, living the God way, living the Christ way. So what does that look like? Well, I'm really glad to tell you, Paul's already done all the work. We don't need to do anything here. He says, in Christ, you have a new identity. Verse 1. Also in verse 1, it says, you are a saint. You are a follower of Christ. It says you are a recipient of grace and peace. And look at this. In verse 3, it says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because you're an eye to it. Just think about that for a minute. Every spiritual blessing, everything you can think of or imagine, and a lot more, is yours in Christ. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good news. And then he says this, he says, even before he made the world, God loved us. He says, in Christ, you are loved. You are without fault. You are chosen to be holy from before the foundation of the world. Even before God said, let there be animals scurrying the ground. He'd already got you marked out. God's got a plan that goes beyond anything we can think or see. And you're in it. He says, in Christ, you've been predestined to be his child. You can call God Father and he calls you son or daughter. In 1 John 3, it says, you know, he has called us to be his family. God himself wants us included in. In Christ, you are highly favored. He has poured out his grace on us. You know, God says to you, come up close. Come be part of things with me. You don't have to sit outside. You don't have to wait till you're called. Just come on in. In verse 7, it tells us that he's purchased our freedom for us. You don't have to live in sin or in darkness or trapped in the old way of doing things. That has already been purchased for you in Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross has freed you once and for all. You are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. The slate is wiped clean. Doesn't matter what you've done. It really doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and has forgiven you. I remember, I'm going to deviate very quickly. I remember we were doing an Alpha course once, and the question came up that God can forgive. And this one person said, yeah, but I don't think he'd have done that for Hitler. So we had a discussion. Came to the conclusion that actually, if Hitler, right at that last second, had said, actually, you know, I got it all wrong, Jesus. I want to give everything to you. God would have forgiven him. And this lady that had answered said, that gives me great hope. Because if he could forgive Hitler, he could forgive me. God is a God who is into forgiveness. And he loves to see you fulfilled for who you should be. Then in Christ, we're showered. This is verse 8. We're showered with kindness and wisdom and understanding of God himself. Who wouldn't want that? In Christ, I can trust God that he knows what he's doing. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It goes back to my talk a couple of weeks ago where I had to let go of the controls in the glider because the instructor had said, I have control. Isn't it great to know that we can trust God because he knows what he's doing, even when we don't? We sang a song earlier about being through the storms of life that God would be with us. We don't always know why. But there are times when God says, I've got this. Trust me. Then in Christ we receive an inheritance from God. Oh, we are going to live forever in this glorious kingdom with him. But it starts now. You don't have to wait until you pop your clogs. Your new life starts now. When you say yes to Jesus, we are saved. Saved for an eternity, verse 13. And then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, I just want to read this to you. It says, now you Gentiles have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, who he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. In Christ, I have the Holy Spirit as a deposit of the future. I was brought up, and I'm grateful for my dad for doing it. If you can't afford it, you don't have it. So when I wanted to buy my first motorcycle, my moped, my Suzuki AP50 in gleaming turquoise blue, I went to the showroom and I put down 10% deposit. I worked 3 jobs. I saved. I had this there. I knew what it looked like. And every week, I went and paid over more of my money. I worked at the petrol pump, serving petrol. I worked in a butcher's, making all sorts of things. I even went around buying up old broken bikes, mending them, and then trying to find people I could sell them to. Why? Because I had my eye on the prize. But the bike was mine the minute I put down that deposit. The minute I paid my deposit, that bike was mine. And God says the same to you. He's given you a deposit of the Holy Spirit. It's yours. Go for it. The power that is at work through God's Holy Spirit that Steve Thomas talked about last week, it is yours. He has put, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 says this. He has set his seal of ownership on us. He has put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Then in Galatians 5, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit brings you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then he says, and there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's words of wisdom and words of knowledge and words of faith and gifts of healing, miracles and prophecy and discernment of spirits and tongues, those angelic languages and the interpretations of tongues. That's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You shall receive power. That's what Steve spoke on last week. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It enables you not for the fuzzy feelings of feeling, oh, isn't it nice? God loves me. that God's got a plan and a purpose for you. When you leave this door, through those doors today, God's plan and purpose can be worked out in you because he wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, but if that's not enough to get you excited about who you are in Christ, I don't know what will. So as we go from this place, let's do so with the understanding that we are transformed. We are no longer who we were, but we who we are in Christ. And if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, if you've never said, you know what, Jesus, that looks pretty good to me. I'd like to do it your way from now on. Please talk to Roger, talk to me, talk to Harvey, talk to someone you came with. We would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. And it might be that you said, oh, I did that years and years ago, and it's all slipped and it's lapsed, and actually, if I'm honest, it's all a bit meh. Why don't you recommit yourself? Why don't you say, you know, I want all of that stuff that Martin talked about at the front. I want all that in my life. I want to know I'm in Christ. Again, talk to us. We would love to talk to you. Through the storm, Christ can be with you. In whatever you're walking through, Christ can be with you. But more importantly, in everything, if we learn anything at all from this first 14 verses, it's that you are in Christ, part of God's family, forgiven, accepted, cherished, named, and loved by the God who started everything. And we'll see everything through to completion. If you'd like to take one of those at the end, please do so.